none of my professors could ever give me a satisfying answer for it. But to my surprise, some of those scriptures start taking a new meaning after I've been studying and preparing to the courts of heaven. Last time we spoke on the courts of heaven, I told you that the next topic on the court of heaven is, or would be, the voices in the courts of heaven. And one beloved brother asked me, voices? What do you mean voices? Like voice, oh, voices. There are courts in heaven, as we have seen throughout this last few weeks. There are courts in heaven. And the Lord, our God, is the judge, supreme judge. He judges all the nations and all living human beings. Today, I'm going to attempt to go at least through one voice on the courts of heaven. And I know that there may be a question, how many voices are there in the courts of heaven? I'm coming to that in a very few minutes. So the title today is Voices in the Courts of Heaven. There are many different voices in a court. There is the voice of the judge, the voice of the attorneys, the voice of witnesses, the voice of bailiffs, the people that sell bail bonds. There's the voice of the recorders, although they hardly speak. There's the voice of the jury. And there may be many other voices, as the voice of those shouting when they feel that a verdict has not been given or well given. In the same way, I believe that there are many different voices in the courts of heaven. And I believe that we need to understand these voices and come into agreement with them. And as we join with these voices and release our faith in agreement with those voices, God's kingdom and God's will on earth is then free to be established. You may be thinking that I am kind of pushing. Not necessarily. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was teaching the disciples, one of the disciples said, Lord, John the Baptist taught his disciple how to pray. Would you please teach us how to pray? And he said, when you pray, you shall pray in this manner. Our Father, which is in heaven, Avinu Shebashamayim, hallowed be your name, Veikadesh Simcha. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody could say, well, God could make his will to be done on earth, whether we like it or not. It doesn't work like this because Jesus Christ is a gentleman. Jesus Christ is not like Muhammad, that if you don't convert to Muhammad, they shoot you and blow your brain in pieces. Jesus Christ is a gentleman. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If somebody opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with them. We're going to have some fun. God is a gentleman. God has the power and the ability to force his kingdom on earth. But he will not do that because God is expecting and awaiting for us to voluntarily invite him to take up his holy throne, not only in our hearts, but on planet earth. I believe that the church plays a big role on the events happening in the world today. The sad part of it, the majority of the preachers are scared about talking these things because the majority of the preachers today has a goofy way of looking at the things of God. And the majority, most of the time, have that stupid belief that we are Christian, we're supposed to be trashed upon, people supposed to come and hit us on one side of our face, we're supposed to give the other one, let them kick in our guts, and we go out, praise God, thank you Jesus, and be humble. Nonsense! A lot of people had that fake idea, oh, I'm supposed to be suffering all that I can here, so I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to rest. You're never going to make it to heaven if you think like this. To get to heaven is not by getting beat up left and right by the devil down here. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. You're the one that Jesus gave the power to tread upon the serpent, upon the scorpions, and no power of the evil will be able to cause you harm. You are the ones that if you drink deadly things, according to Mark 16:18, will not hurt you. Are we together so far? So you may be asking, what does this got to do with the kingdom of God and the voices in the courts of heaven? It has a lot to do. I believe that the church needs to agree with the voices in heaven so that we can release the kingdom of God on earth. Contrary to popular belief, Donald James Trump, or Donald John Trump, will take the presidency of the United States, not by any other reason. God's people got together and prayed for it, and God heard our prayers. We do have a say on the affairs of the kingdom. I've got a call from Jamaica, and the young lady on the other side of the phone said, I was in your church a year ago, and they had some kind of storm coming through Florida. She said, I am from Jamaica, but I was in Maryland visiting a family member. And you said that we're going to pray that the storm will go around and not hit our houses. And I heard you guys making the prayer, you and the church. And I'm thinking, this guy's crazy. Who he is? Who would think he is? And when I got home, I'm, attached to the TV to see what's going to happen. And the news just came in that the storm went around Florida and went straight into the sea. Well, we did it. She said, now I am on standby. Anytime they say there's a storm come through my island, it got to go around. Said, way to go, sis. We have the power to determine things in here. The thing is that we fail to agree with heaven. Listen to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Assuredly, that's a done deal. Assuredly. Is that right? You know for sure. I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. Now, stay with me here. If the church learns to agree with the voices in the court of heaven, it must originate in here. And whatever we agree in here, and we pray biblically, it reaches the throne of heaven. We've got a lawyer that's going to place our case before the great judge, and the verdict will come in our favor. Amen. Because we already agree on this here. Amen. Are we together so far? Amen. Watch this. May I have the New Living Translation here, brothers? I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth. Are you with me here? There are voices in heaven ready to agree with you and I. So when we agree on the word of God and we forbid something to happen, it's not going to happen. Are you following me so far? You may be thinking, you keep talking about this agreement with the voices in heaven. You're making Christianity complicated. No, no, no. You're just a lazy butt. You're used to cheap grace. We are not saying that you got to do something to go to heaven. What I'm saying is, we don't have to sit down like a duck and be beaten up. Although a duck is not going to sit down like that. I don't know who had that stupid idea. Try to beat a duck. It's going to run away from you. But using whatever you guys already invented, we don't have to sit like a duck and wait for somebody to come and beat us up left and right. And we just stay holy. Because this is what we're supposed to do. Baloney. There are voices in heaven that wants to agree with us. And the supreme voice in heaven is the voice of the blood of Jesus. The voice of Jesus himself. The Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead and sat at the right hand of the Father. Whenever you and I hear, agree on something biblically and shoot the prayer up, the Lord will hear our voices and the Lord will whisper on the Father's ears. Dad, they write. They are praying the word back to us. So you may be thinking, well, if that's the case, why don't we have more prayers answered? Brother Harry, can you put up there Hosea 14:2? One of the reasons that we don't have too many prayers answered is because we don't agree. And we don't agree because we barely know that scripture. Read it with me. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, take away all our iniquity, receive us graciously, for we'll offer. We've got to take the word of God with us in our lips, go back to God and plead our case. And when you and I got together in heaven, take the word of God and pray that word together and plead our case. Huh? We return to the Lord. Take the word. State our case. Heaven gets into motion. Especially when we're talking about loved ones. Listen to Isaiah 43. Starting on verse 25 first. Isaiah 43, 25. Read it with me. I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So what do I got to do? Next verse. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be. This is a court term. He is asking us to put him in remembrance. In remembrance of what? Of the words that he has spoken. How do I do this? When you and I get together and we plead our case on the basis of the word. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us contend. Come on. Show me your case. Show me your case. Let's talk about this thing. State your case. I'm willing to acquit you. So if there is a need to present my case to be acquitted, that means somebody is accusing me. Are we together so far?
Yes.
It doesn't mean that we are guilty. It just means that that low life, good for nothing, useless piece of garbage, that punk called devil, will be there in heaven accusing us. This is why it's so important for you and I to plead our cases. Well, Lord, The devil is a liar. You can see that Job, that dude did nothing wrong. And Lord said, you see my boy Job? Huh. The low life goes, who wouldn't serve you? You made this boy rich. He got everything he wants. Anybody can do that. Liar, you don't know people's heart. The Lord said, all right, take all that he has, don't touch him. He went and took everything Job had. The thing he should take out of Job's life, he didn't, was the wife. He said, that's mean. It's not. Because after all happened, she said, why don't you curse God and die? She's supposed to be the first one to be taken. But the devil left her. Are you with me so far? Yeah. Now, this low life is lying against Job. It's no wonder he's called the accuser of the brethren. Are you with me so far? So how do you tie all this together? There is an enemy lying against you and I in the courts of heaven. This is when you and I supposed to get together, read the word, pray the word in agreement, plead our case, and we will be acquitted on the basis of the word of God. Are we still together so far? There is a book on the back there I came to read. Last night I read 3 or 4 chapters of that book. It's called The Courts of Heaven. By, what's his name again? Henderson? Robert Henderson. When I announced that I was going to preach on the courts of heaven, a few sisters asked, have you heard about Robert Henderson? I said, nope. Didn't heard, nope. Never heard, nope. They said, he has a book on the courts of heaven. Really? Sister Maureen brought her copy that she had already read it and gave it to me. I said, you know what, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to wait to see what God's going to give to me first. I'll take my notes and then I'll check with this guy. Checked. I had my list already made. I was supposed to be preaching 2 themes on the court of heaven. The courts of heaven and the voices on the court of heaven. I don't think I'll preach about anything else because nothing else has been given to me. One of the things that Robert Henderson said was, any lack of the kingdom being manifested, I'm paraphrasing him, among us, is because of a legal issue. What do you mean? There are things that we do that open doors and give the devil legal rights. When we were working among the Hindu people, a very nasty demon called Hanuman used to take over the life of a beloved saint. And finally, one day, we were able to get through. And we prayed and we cast that demon out. The person was set free. And the person was free for 1.5 years. But every time they had a wedding, the family demanded for everybody to be present. And there was always, Pastor, can I go? I said, you're actually not supposed to be there. But if you do go, make sure that you are a witness. And one day this beloved asked me, why is it such a big problem to go? So, well, number one, you're sitting among scoffers. They don't want to hear about God. They are so tied up to their idol. They are dying, falling apart. And their idol can't do nothing because idols can't do anything. Amen. They are demons. But the worst of all is this. If you sit down there all the time and you don't say one word to nobody, the food will come for you to eat. And you know that that food has already been dedicated to some kind of demon. And then I told that brother, when you eat that food, you partake on the same garbage and you gave the demons a legal right upon your life. Amen. The brother says, is that on the Bible? I said, oh yes. Balaam was called to curse the people of Israel. And he came, and every time he tried to curse the people of Israel, God changed his speech and he blessed them. It's one of the most known and practiced blessing among our people. It's called Matovu. Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Israel. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, and your dwelling places, O Israel. He was called to curse. And when he started cursing, God twisted his tongue and he go, Matovu. Uchalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Israel. The king said, hey, I called you here to curse them, and you're blessing them. Then you go to Hebrews, and the Bible says that Balaam caused Israel to sin once he couldn't curse them. He told Balak, cook some good food that is offered to your gods, and offer it to the children of Israel. And the people ate, and the people sinned against God. So if there are prayers in our lives that hasn't been answered, certainly there is a legal issue, a legal claim that the devil has upon us. This beloved brother went, and he said, I tried, but I couldn't resist that curry chicken with chana. And he ate. This man was never able to make back to where he was. A legal claim had been placed by the devil. He still came to church here and there, but he could never. He took off, and he became very successful. He went downhill. Could not raise his head. There was another guy, but who? Covered with leper. Head to toe. He was set aside. You'd live 98 kilometers away from civilization. Nobody wants him around. Boal. They had all. And the brother insisted with me, said, I don't want to go to pray for this guy because he doesn't want to serve Jesus. He said he will. So after a lot of nagging, we jumped on the car and we drove 2 hours to get there. Then we walk about half an hour inside the bush, snakes just crossing by. And you go on. We finally came to the place. I had anointing oil with me. So I took the oil in my hands. I blessed God for that oil. And I prayed that that oil would do a miracle. Then I gave him the oil. I want you to start rubbing this oil on your body. And I did on his forehead, his head, and he did the rest of it. I left some, so when we leave, take off your clothes and go over the rest of your body that I don't want to see. We lay hands on Boal. We rebuke every demonic Hindu force working on that life. And lo and behold, who came up? Hanuman, and another demon called Drupati. We got them out. The next day, that man had not even one scar on his body. He was free for about a year and a half. And here comes the wedding. Went to the wedding. The bandit is preaching. The pundit is preaching. And he's listening to that garbage. And then he indulged on the food. That man died with cancer. Never returned to God. So you may ask, okay, preacher, so what is your point? My point is simple. Any lack of kingdom manifestation among us is because of a legal claim. I showed you this morning that the Father's heart is very clear. God will not hold back any blessings from us. God wants us to be happy people. So if there is a lack of manifestation of the kingdom purpose and the kingdom life among us, it's because we have yet to give the Father, to grant Him a legal right to fulfill His passion, His desire, His plan in our lives. And if we are praying according to the will of God, praying the word back to Him in agreement, and we have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for an extended time without any result, something legal is standing on the way of our answer. Something is holding back the angel from bringing an answer for us. You may say, this is not biblical. Brother, can you give me Daniel chapter 10, verse 13? We not only have people that punk lying against us in heaven, we have his agent trying to hold the answer of our prayers. Read it with me. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, and behold, of course, an angel is not going to be fighting against an Iraqi or Iranian. He's talking about every country that has godly people will have a prince angel, like Israel has Michael. For the lack of godly people there, there is going to be a prince of demon heading over a nation. And when Daniel is in Babylon, not too many Christians in there, he prayed and he fasted, and he decided, I'm not going to stop fasting until I get an answer for this thing. An angel was sent to bring his answer. But the demons, the principalities of the kingdom of Persia, fought with him for 21 days. There is opposition, and we will resolve those things in the court of heaven. And it's not only one demon. When you go to Daniel 10:20, it gets even interesting. Then he said, do you know why I came to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. So there is a chain of demons fighting so that you cannot get your prayer answered. And this is why we don't want to give the devil any legal right to block the answers of our prayers. And this is why we've got to join together in agreement on earth and pray the word of God so that what God's will is in heaven can be manifested on earth in our lives. There's no other way around this. I don't want to fight. I just want to go home and watch the football game. Then we need to break the prince of Baltimore or whatever it is that is praying over your life today. You know, folks, this is not a drag. This is rather exciting. Why? You've been given power to beat up demons. And you're telling me you're scared? What is the matter with you? Are you with me so far? If the demons have no legal rights upon you and I, God's desire and God's kingdom will be established. One of the most difficult times, materially speaking, in our lives was the first 5 years we spent among the Hindu people, but was one of the most rewarding. God gave us the joy to establish the first Christian Hindu church in Suriname. And today there's about a half a dozen of them in the country. Somebody had to break the ground. I think that you and I have been called to break ground. I think that you and I have to learn to present our cases in the courts of heaven. I believe that just like we have a legal system here on earth, we also have a legal system in heaven. And I'm going to be showing you very soon. I believe that this place, this court of heaven, is the place where God grants legal rights. God send out from heaven the fulfillment of the promises that has been given to you and I. I know that you still thinking, well, you still have not said how many voices are there in heaven. Well, it's no use for me to tell you if you don't understand what they are and how to operate with it. Let's go to Hebrews 12, 22, and then 23 and 24. Let's start talking about the voices in the court of heaven. Hebrews 12, 22, and then we will go to 23 and 24. Read it with me. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. On this scripture here, I can show you 8 different types of voices. Now, my notes were a little different than Henderson, whatever his name is, Robert Henderson. I had only 5 notes, 5 voices. He has actually 8. And after I started studying, I found another one. I'm going to use this scripture here, and I'm going to put in order here. How many voices do you have in heaven? Number 1. The voice of the mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then, number 2, we have the voice of the blood. What? Yes, blood has a voice. And we could use the blood of Jesus if we want. But it's not only the blood of Jesus who speaks in heaven. Then we would say that there's the voice of God, the judge of all, the voice of the judge, who is God. There's the voice of the church of the firstborn that are registered in heaven. There's the voice of the spirit of the just man made perfect. There is the voice of the court, which is called General Assembly on this verse. There is the voice of innumerable company of angels. And these are good angels. And here's one that's going to mess you up. I am hesitating to put this thing here. But I will deal with this when I come to the time to preach about this. There is the voice of the bride of Christ. And is not the church. What? 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 The bride of Christ is the church. No, it's not. Then I would say, yes, it is. I'll leave it up to discussion. You're not going to be saved or lost if you believe differently. But according to the scripture, the church is supposed to prepare itself and adorn itself as a bride. But scripture says that. But what is called the bride of Christ is the New Jerusalem. And I can bring it to Revelation and show you that. Are we together?
Yes.
And there's another voice that is, I'm kind of hesitant to talk about this. I would call this the voice of generosity. What? Yep. Now, I gave you all these things. And I want to stop today with one thing. I want to just speak a little bit briefly about the voice of the blood. And I'm not talking about the blood of Jesus. That we'll do later. I'm going to present the other voices, and then I went up with the voice of Jesus because then it will be easier to break down every legal claim against us that the voices of the accuser and his punks are accusing us before the throne of God. You know, people usually get all suspicious, all bent out of shape when you have things like this. Somebody said, after the first sermon, said, "Preacher, I have a hard time swallowing this." I said, "That's all right. That doesn't make it less truthful." "You mean to say that we have demons in heaven?" "Yes, we do. They don't reside in heaven, but they have access." "I never heard this." "It doesn't matter. It doesn't make it less truth. Give me an example." Simple. One day, the Lord said, "Who will go out and lie, become a lying witness in the lips of Ahab's prophets?" And the Bible says, an unclean spirit came out and said, "I will." And the Lord said, "Go and be a lying voice in the lips of Ahab's prophets." That means that evil spirits, or unclean spirits, have access to heaven. And only God knows what he's been telling God about you. Ha-ha! You see that fellow there? Call himself a Christian. Watching horror movies. I know y'all don't do this. This is the church down the street. Are you with me so far? And little things like this can give the devil legal rights and prevent prayers from being answered. And this is why we have to agree with the voice of our defender, Jesus Christ. We have to agree with the voice of the blood. And so on. I'm going to read for you now a story given by Mr. Henderson in his book that will help you to understand how this whole thing works. He says, "A lady told me a story of her daughter living in another state, who was charged with attempted murder. It seemed that she and her husband had a fight one evening. He left in one car, she jumped on the other family car and pursued him." Boy, this is a rough woman. "She eventually rammed his car with her car. The police were called, and because of the circumstances surrounding the incident, she was arrested." They may have been in Florida. "And charged with attempted murder. As time progressed, the husband and wife reconciled." So you can see that the devil is on this thing here. "But the district attorney in the county where they lived persisted in keeping the charges alive and pushing toward the court date. As the date loomed for the beginning of the trial, this mother approached me, Henderson, and asked if we could take this situation before the court of heaven. I agreed, and we set a date to meet and do this day before the jury selection began. As we began the process of coming before the court of heaven, he says, I led the lady in submitting herself to the Lord and his authority. We then brought her daughter and the entire situation before the court of heaven. He said, I had a couple of prophets and seers along with him for the ride to help with discernment. As we began to pray, he says, I asked the lady to take her place as mother and intercessor and repent on behalf of her daughter. We began to sense very distinctively what the accuser was using against this young lady that was about to go on trial. The mom repented with tears, as specifically as she could, for her daughter and for her daughter's disobedience and rebellion, especially against God. It wasn't very long before we felt the accusations had been dealt with before the court of heaven. The accuser had been silenced, and we were now free to ask the Lord for mercy. As we did this, one of the seers clearly heard and saw that the judge in the case would dismiss the case and it wouldn't even go to trial. We believed that the court of heaven had made a ruling in favor of this lady's daughter. The next afternoon, I got a call from a very excited mom who reported that when the jury selection was about to begin, the judge in the case looked at the evidence and abruptly dismissed the case. The young woman was released from all charges and was free to resume her life after months and months of torment and uncertainty. The court of heaven had ruled, and it was played out on earth in a natural court. This all happened because of the testimony of the blood of Jesus on behalf of this lady's daughter. The blood had answered every accusation against the daughter and silenced the accuser that had demanded destruction. The accuser has no answer for the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the judge of all was granted the legal right to show mercy because of the blood. I believe that the blood of Jesus is the major voice in the courts of heaven that testifies on our behalf. I believe that the blood of Jesus has the greatest audience in heaven. Are we together so far? We're going to talk about the blood of Jesus another day. The point in focus here was, when we learn to come in agreement with the testimony, you know, the word of our testimony and other people, when we agree and present our case based on the word, the blood of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and that blood that was sprinkled for us will erase every accusation and nullify every attempt of the enemy to destroy us. Are you following with me so far? Blood has a voice. The blood of Jesus has the loudest voice in heaven. But every human being has a blood, and the blood of humans has a voice. I'll say it again. The blood of human has a voice. You may be asking, why is that important? Because we will not. Oh, let me put it this way. I will not agree, nor contribute, nor vote for any politician that is planning to feed the baby murdering industry in our country. The blood of these children are crying in heaven right now. It's 40 million children murdered every year because of the convenience. I can have a baby, I'm still in college. Then don't get pregnant. Is that a voice of blood? Yes. Can we go quickly to Genesis 4? I'll be real quick. Give me 5 minutes and I'll be done. Read it with me. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, what is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? What a presumptuous weasel, huh? Verse 10. I would smack him right there and then. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out from the ground.
Amen.
Is it convincing enough to know that the voices, the blood of people has a voice that cries out before God? Verse 12. So now you are cursed. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Can we go one more scripture? When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on earth. You will say, okay. So one of the voices in heaven is the voice of the blood. So what is the big deal here? The Lord said that the blood of Abel was crying out to him from the ground. And I wonder today, many thousands of bloods are crying out from the sewers, from the sewage. What are you talking about? When the babies are murdered, they don't have a burial. They're usually thrown away with the waste. Are you with me so far? Based on what Abel's blood was testifying, or crying out, should I say, God rendered judgment and a sentence against Cain. He was sentenced to be a vagabond, a wanderer for the rest of his life. The sentence that was given to Cain was on the basis of the blood of Abel's testimony. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you this. The testimony of the blood is very powerful before God's throne. I would like to invite you to join me in a quick prayer, asking God forgiveness for our nation, for the millions of blood crying that goes up to heaven every year, through the murder of innocent babies that can't defend themselves. And the ones in power that should defend the defenseless are actually funding the clinics that are doing this. I already signed my petition. Defund ACORN. You know, this place where they're killing babies and selling their parts on the market. I want you to bow your head and join me in prayer. Father God, as your people, as a holy nation, as a royal priesthood, we stand on the gap. And we ask you for forgiveness. Forgiveness for those souls who have murdered millions of babies in the past years. In the name of Jesus, we repent on their behalf. As a nation, we come into agreement that what has been done is not only sinful, but deplorable. So in the name of Jesus, we are sorry. We repent for them in the name of Jesus. And we void any legal claim against our nation in Jesus' name because of so crazy acts. In the name of Jesus. If any one of us, Lord, as Christians, has ever been part or contributed to such crazy stuff as murdering babies, please, from the bottom of our hearts, forgive us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Your people agreed this morning, right now, for the repentance and the washing with the blood of Jesus of all guilt and every legal right against the United States of America caused by murder in abortion clinics. May the voice of these bloods never count against us again as a nation in the precious name of Jesus. We receive the forgiveness. We receive the cleanness through the blood of Jesus. And we pray for those who did that, that you may reach out to them, save their souls, give them a new life, a meaningful life in you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We just went to the courts of heaven and pleaded on behalf of our country. May the voice of the murdered babies no longer count against the United States of America. Amen. God bless you.